take it with us the rest of the week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You can be seated. Well, this morning we're in week two of our series looking at being open-handed. Last week we saw how generosity is both a response to what God has shown us, and it's also open-handed in worship back to Him, right? We are giving worship to Him and also serving others. And so over the next 3 weeks, we're going to break that down practically, not just looking at the overarching that God has blessed us and given to us certain things, but we're going to look specifically this morning at time. And then next week, we're going to look at our talents. And next week after that, we're going to look at our treasures. All right, so this morning we're going to be looking at time, and just to recap where we began last week in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 11, it says this: "You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which will produce in us, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God." So the cycle of generosity. We have been enriched by God to be generous, and not only that, that generosity produces thanksgiving to God. The cycle of receiving God's grace and showing that in thanksgiving back to Him. So this morning, instead of giving you all of the scripture first and then applying it, what I thought would be helpful is for us to kind of see, what am I talking about when I say you can be generous with your time? And so I've asked several people in our church to come up and join me on stage real quick. So if you were that person, come on up. There's like five or six of you, seven of you, so come on this way. I thought it best, sometime a sermon is best when you just see it, all right? So I'm going to see it with you, and then we'll dive into the Bible together, okay? Craig's got the microphone, and all right, I'm ready for this. Yeah, you're going to come up here, yeah. You got it. Levy's excited. She's going to do a 15-minute presentation. No, she's not going to do that. Not today. Okay. We got it, Craig? Okay. Here we go. Okay. So I'm really just going to ask them the same question, but they're going to have different answers. Maybe be the same. We really haven't rehearsed this at all. Okay. So we're talking about being generous with our time. Our time set apart for God, our time set apart for others. So Craig, if you would tell me, why do you lead in worship week in and week out? And why do you spend hours figuring out how to get the presentation software to work and the speakers to work sometimes? That's not his fault, it's the speakers. But why do that?
Since I was in junior high, I've been using my God-given talents to praise the Lord in church. I've been doing this same kind of thing forever. I was trying to remember. It's been forever. I love doing this. This is my worship language with the Lord. It's music. And I couldn't think of doing anything else. I mean, it's it.
Awesome. That's good. Okay. All right, Miss Linda, you ready? So, you may not know this, but every week we have prayer requests that come in. And everybody does with that list what they do, but Miss Linda does a special ministry. She takes that list, and she writes letters. She fills out a card, puts it in the mail. And she may never see the person who she's praying for face to face, but that's her ministry. So Miss Linda, why do you do that?
Well, people don't really know that I've suffered with depression most of my life. So helping others is one way to bring me out of that and help me get along, and I love doing for others.
That's awesome. Thank you, Miss Linda. All right, Scott. Okay. All right, so Scott, tell me why you would, number one, be the head of the deacons. I'm just kidding, don't think. You're the head of the deacons, you teach Sunday school, you've got three kids, you're involved in a lot of things, but you also teach a Bible study at your work as well. So why do all those things?
Well, I think in each one of those circumstances, I was called to, right? Not in the sense that I had a vision or a voice telling me to do those things, but I saw the opportunity, felt like I was called to do those things, and in response, what could I do but say yes, right?
Yeah, there you go. Good. All right, Miss Jackie, you ready? All right, and yours is kind of twofold. One, I kind of asked you and Keith to lead a grief share program, which y'all have done great. It's happening on Monday nights. So why lead that? But then also, you've joined us in prayer walking in the neighborhoods. So maybe just give us a little snapshot of like why go do that, and maybe what God's taught you in that.
Okay. I'm a caregiver by nature. If somebody is sick or sad or needs something, whether they express it or not, I try to give as much as I can to anybody all the time. The grief share, yes, you asked, and we prayed about it, and I wanted to do it. I mean, that's a dark time for people when they've lost a loved one. And I just felt like that was a calling, that I wanted to lead them out of that dark time through Christ, for them to know God has not left them. And the prayer walk is to try to reach somebody that maybe doesn't know them. And I want to share real quick, this past week we were out walking and I went to a house. A little boy was outside about 10 or 12. And I asked him if I could pray for him. And he said, well, let me go ask my mom. I said, it's okay. I just want to say, is there anything you need to be prayed for? And he said, well, I lost my dad. And I said, well, I'll say a prayer for you. And I did. And I knocked on the door and asked his mother, told her what I had done. And she said, well, his father died 2 years ago, but thank you. And I thought, it's still hard for this little boy. So I thought, God led me to that house.
Yeah.
That's my
good. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. You passed it. Bill. I think what was great about that 10-year-old boy too, after she prayed for him, and you know, the boy goes, no, but you still need to talk to my mom. I'm like, come on in. You know, so I think that's really cool. Yeah. Bill. You do a whole lot. But I think a great example of this morning, there's chairs in this room. How did they get here? And number two, why do all of the stuff behind the scenes at the church?
I guess for me it goes back almost 30 years to when we first started meeting at the Baptist camp in Mount Lebanon. And we would have to get up very early on Sunday morning because they would have a camp that finished late Saturday night. So we'd go on Sunday morning, clean the conference room, put out the chairs, put out the music equipment, go home, get a shower, come back to church. And I've been doing it ever since. And it's been a blessing to watch people as they respond to creating spaces for worship, as creating spaces for special events for their family, like weddings or anniversaries or birthdays. And it just feels so good to serve other people in that way.
Which is great. You often find Bill on top of a ladder if you get up here in the week. So Jana, Levy, you can tag team this if you'd like. All right, so ladies, why be a part of the Prayer Shawl Ministry that meets twice a month? Why would you do that?
Well, I think I do it mainly because I love to crochet, and I love to make things for people. I probably don't have anything that I crochet for myself. And the Prayer Shawl is just a great little group of women that come together twice a month, and we have a lot of fun, and we exchange our views and our patterns, our crochet patterns. Then we feel like that we can bless others with the goods that we've made, and that's why I do it, because I love to give stuff away that I've made.
Awesome. Love you.
Well, first of all, I love to crochet, and I love the Lord, and I'm really trying hard to learn how to count.
Is that needed in crochet?
Miss Linda is trying to teach me how to count. But it's a marvelous ministry. And over the years, to see or to hear from people that have received shawls or throws, some of the responses we get is just, we get a major, major blessing out of it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right, Kevin, last but not least, tell us, you might have scooted this way a little bit. What do you do on Sunday morning? He's actually doing a lot right now. He leads our prayer kind of ministry a little bit on Wednesdays. He's a champion of the soundboard at the moment. But tell us specifically, why do you choose to teach elementary kids in Sunday school?
Simply, it's for the sake of the children. And I want to build God's kingdom by helping children believe Jesus and become fully devoted disciples.
Absolutely. Well, thank you all. Let's do this. I'm going to pray over them, but here's the thing. There are stories we could share about people being generous with our time. An email went out, not last week, but the week before. Hey, we need to pray over a brother in crisis in the ICU. And at 1:30, about a Wednesday or Thursday a couple weeks ago, there were 30-plus people packed into a little tiny waiting room praying over a brother in Christ. Let's be very generous with our time. There are 8 people that are going on a mission trip to Montana, of all places. I mean, that's a summer getaway, Montana. But they're going to serve children and families as they do a VBS up there, right? We can go down the list, but let's do this. Let's thank God for what God is doing in and through our church family, you know, the people on stage and others. The list could be going on and on. So let's pray, and after I pray, y'all are welcome to sit down. Sound good? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness, and we thank you that in the life of our church, there are people that are being generous with the time that you've given us. And so I pray that we are found obedient to continue that, to multiply that, and really be not only proactive in setting aside time to serve others, but reactive to see how you are at work in our midst, in our city, and in our families. So God, help us be obedient. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Can you just put it down on the way? You can go that way. Well, if you would join me, we're going to look this morning at really being generous with the time we've been given. And that alone was a sermon in and of itself. Hopefully you're going, all right, I need to do something with my time. But the scripture is going to point out the truth that we have been given time generously by God so that we can, in return, use it to glorify God and to serve others. So if you look with me, we'll eventually make it to Ephesians 5. But before we do, I kind of want to lay down the groundwork of what the Bible says about God and time. And so if we think about who God is, time has generously been given to us by God. But God himself is eternal, which means he does not have an Apple Watch that keeps time for him. Okay? So he is eternal. Psalm 92 says this. Psalm 90 verse 2 says, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." So there was never a time when God was not, and there will be never be a time where God isn't, right? He has always existed before time. Another way to put this, Paul wrote to Timothy, he says, "Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." He is eternal. Eternal, all right? So God stands outside of time itself, okay? So he didn't set the alarm clock to wake up this morning, okay? Most of you did. Most of you snoozed, didn't I? God doesn't have to deal with time like we do, yet God, in his generosity and his creativeness, created time so that you and I can experience the light of day and the darkness of night. And that goes all the way back to Genesis, right? So God created time. In Genesis 1, 3 through 5, it said, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. So this is how God has ordered the universe, right? The sun comes up, the sun goes down. Every day since that first day of creation, that's the cycle we've been going on, right? Sun comes up, sun goes down. Darkness, light, darkness, light. This is the life that we live, and it was good. And the truth that I share with the children, every day is the same length of time, unless God stops time or does something supernaturally with it, right? But as a general rule, you know this, especially as adults, you cannot add a single hour to your day, although you might want to. Amen? Right? Or the opposite. I want this time to go faster. Okay? Either way. But Jesus said in Matthew 6, when he was talking to the anxious disciples, and he said, "And which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to the span of life?" Donald Whitney put it this way, talking about time. He said, "If people threw away their money as thoughtlessly as they throw away their time, we would think they are insane." Let that sink in for a bit. If people threw away their money as thoughtlessly as they throw away their time, we would think they are insane, because you can have more money. You can go make more money, whether you do it the right way or the wrong way. Money can be created in some ways, but you cannot buy more time. It is a given fact for all of us. But here in Jesus Christ, right, when we believe in Jesus Christ, we have a gift. It's eternal life. We get, instead of the clock stopping at our death, we have eternity, eternal life, instead of eternal death and separation. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says this, that Solomon writes, "He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart. Yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end." That you and I, we are created with eternity in us. Whether we will be spending eternity with God in heaven or apart because of our sin in hell, we have eternal life. We have that. The eternal destiny awaits us. And so there's something in us that longs for what's next. Just to be honest, right, at lunch you're going to go and you're going to have some food. Maybe it'll be great food, maybe it'll be not so great food, all right? Maybe you go to the Chinese buffet and you go home and it's not good, okay? But if it's amazing food, here's the truth. At dinner time, what are you going to be? You're going to be hungry again. Tomorrow, you're going to want another meal. So food at a base level will never satisfy the longing of our heart because there's something in us that's wired for something more than just sun up, sun down, sun up, sun down. And when Jesus Christ comes, he comes to forgive us of our sins, right? But he comes to give us eternal life. John 3:16, we talked about this last week, God's generosity that he gave Jesus. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Which means as followers of Jesus, this life right now matters, but we have an eternity with Christ that awaits us. Right? R.C. Sproul put it this way, right now counts forever. The way we live right now should count as followers of Jesus. How we use our time matters. So we don't just live, right, as followers of Jesus. We don't come to know Jesus and clock out, right? I'm good till heaven. Instead, we have eternal life because we have hope and the excitement of heaven. But because of that, it should drive how we live now, which means this time we have is limited on earth before we reach heaven. We should live in such a way that we use our time well. And so what we do matters. And the question for us as we think about being open-handed with the things that we've been given, specifically the time that we've been given, the question for us this morning, how can we be open-handed with the 24 hours every day that we're given? So that we need to be generous with our time. I think that's what I'm trying to tell you, right? We want to be generous with the time we've received. So if you go with me to Ephesians chapter 5, we'll jump in to this with some words from Paul that I think will lead us to see how we can be open-handed with our time. In Ephesians 5, we see this, that Paul tells the church in Ephesus, he tells us today to redeem the time. All right, look at Ephesians 5, verse 15. It says this, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Look carefully. Look carefully how you walk. I think in today's world, we do this when we drive. Look carefully when you drive. You need to be aware of all the cars around you because there's some crazies out there. Amen? Yeah? On 280s, we were traveling home yesterday, and we had this car swerving in around us, right? And I'm like, okay, give him some space, right? This word look carefully is literally be aware. Look all around you. As you are walking, as you're going about your day, and Paul says, be wise, don't be foolish, don't be unwise. And to further explain it, look in verse 16. Be wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Make the best of the time you've been given, because the days are evil, right? Ever since Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, sin entered the world, and it seems... And it's true that really this whole world is impacted by sin. And not just that, we can look at all the time we spent in life and go, yep, the days are evil. And Paul wrote this thousands of years ago. So right now you're thinking, man, these days are especially evil. They've been evil for 2,000 years. As old as the earth is, right? This is reality. The days are evil. And Paul's command here is to use the time the best that you can. The Greek word probably looks a little different in your Bible if you have a different version. The Greek word really means to buy back the time to use it for good. To buy back, to redeem, okay? So I don't know, how many of you grew up at Chuck E. Cheese or taking the kids, grandkids to Chuck E. Cheese? Anybody? No? Okay, all right, this could be a true life story, okay? All right, you go to Chuck E. Cheese, it was great. Pizza was average, right? The ball pit, you didn't want to get in there. But the games, right? They had little tickets, right? Nowadays, they do all electronic, but back in the day, okay? The tickets, right? You put the little token in, you do the skee ball, and one would shoot out, but then you try to pull the extra one out. You know, there's a technique, right? Y'all are laughing because you did it, all right? All right, you coach yourself up, you're trying to get all those tickets, because with those tickets, you could go to the counter, and you could buy all kinds of tchotchkes and ridiculous things, right? The sticky hands and the goo and everything that your mom's like, don't get that. No silly buddy in the house. Thanks, Mom. Three boys, you know. Anyway, so, but then you get to the counter, you had your tickets, and you never had enough, right? like on the wall was like the Nintendo, and you're like, oh, I'm gonna get it, you know, and you have like five and you need like 50,000, you know. And maybe once or twice you tried to hold on to your tickets for like an extra month, you know, and like you're convincing your parents, like, can we please go to Chuck E. Cheese, right? And you save them up, but you would go take your tickets and redeem something from the toy counter. In many ways, what Paul is pointing out in this buying back the time, God has created 24 hours in every single day. And if we're following Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, we have everything that's needed to buy back the time of our evil day to use it to glorify God. Not Chuck E. Cheese, right? You're not going to run out of things to buy back the time, right? So you don't have an excuse of like, I don't have enough tickets. But Jesus has given you enough to buy back the time to use it for his glory. And so what should we use our time for? What should we use our time to buy it back? What should we do? And I think Paul lays it out here pretty succinctly. We should use it to do the will of the Lord. Look at Ephesians 5:17. It says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. If you're going to buy back the time and you want to glorify God with it, you probably should be doing what God wants you to do with it. Amen? All right? And the same thing goes with our generosity. Okay, Paul in 2 Corinthians, we talked about it last week in chapter 8 and 9. It's kind of a case study of generosity. And he talks about it. 2 Corinthians 8:5. He says these words. And see if you can catch the connection. 2 Corinthians 8:5, he says, they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. So when Paul is talking about this church in Macedonia that was giving financially, generously, he says before they even gave money, it says they first gave themselves to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. This church was generously giving, right, open-handed. They're saying, what is your will, God? Okay, I want to do that. And so whatever we do with our time, we should also be doing that. God, you have given me this time. How can I use it for you and by your will to help others? So using our time to do God's will, we really, if we can break it down this morning, I would say we need to use our time to follow his will and obey his greatest commandment. In Matthew 22, 36 through 39, someone comes to Jesus and says, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And we stop and think about being generous with our time and how we organize our time. I think we can all agree that we should fulfill the greatest commandment. If we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, strength, we're going to spend time doing that. If we're going to say we love our neighbor, we're going to spend time doing that. And here's where I want to tell you. Right now, you can go to Barnes & Noble, you go on Amazon and type in time management, and you will get book upon book upon book on seminar and how to spend your time. You can color code it. You can put it in your phone, and alarms. I mean, all of these things to try to control and manage your time. But we really have to have the right priority in place. And I think that's what the greatest commandment does for us. That we can have a system or we cannot have a system. But really, we need to have our priority right, that we need to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We need to love others, love our neighbors. And we should do that with our time. And so we need to be generous with our time for God. How do we do that? Let's keep looking at Ephesians 5. Sorry, he's told them, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. In verse 17 and verse 18, it says, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Be generous with your time for God, okay? And in Ephesus, at this time, when Paul is writing this, there's a group of religious people, and I say that with a R, small r. They're not Jesus followers. They're not, they're pagans, and this is what they're doing. They're throwing large parties with all kinds of immorality, all right? You can make up the list of what that party looks like, but in that party, they're trying to figure out what their little god's will is. And by doing that, they're filling themselves up with alcohol because they feel like if they get drunk, that's when their little god will give them the direction and will for their life. And Paul's going, are you kidding me? Don't do that. Don't fill yourself up with alcohol. That's debauchery. That's sin. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, Paul is saying you need to be generous with allowing God to work in and through you. And so for us, man, we follow Paul's words, right? The Holy Spirit's in us. He's with us. Be filled with him. Walk with him. Pray with him. Follow him. And so if we just think about our life, right? We're going to be led by the Holy Spirit. We're filled by him with our time. We're going to read the Bible. We're going to be a part of our church family, right? You're going to pray. You're going to go. You're going to give. You'll be an example of maybe somebody up here on stage. But whatever it is, being filled with the Holy Spirit means you're not a bystander watching God do something somewhere else. The Holy Spirit's in you. Your time will be defined by giving glory and praise to God in some way. You're not a bystander. I think if we could break it down this way, we really need to be both proactive and reactive with our time towards God. We need to be proactive. Like if you think about all the time in your day, there should be time that you set aside that you go, this time is for me and God to connect. Okay, proactive. We think about the life of Jesus, right? He's always, it seems, it's always constant, right? He's with people, with people, with people. But when he's with people, before he does a miracle or anything, he usually steps aside and has a moment with God. In prayer, he has a special moment with God. Jesus is proactive with his schedule, all right? But we also see that there are times that we need to be reactive. We need to be reactive. We can talk about Jesus. He's also reactive. But I think a good example of being reactive with the Holy Spirit at work in your life, I think of Peter. Peter's doing his thing. He's leading the church in Jerusalem, right? He's the head honcho. And then all of a sudden he has a dream. And God plops down these animals in front of him. And God says, get up, Peter, and eat. And Peter's like, what? I'm not doing that. Because Peter in that day was reaching the people of Israel, right, with the gospel, the good news. And Peter's like, that's what I'm called to do. But the Holy Spirit is in Peter's dream, right? He's filled with the Holy Spirit. And he's telling Peter, get up, eat the bacon. All right? Eat the bacon, Peter. And Peter finally gets it. God, you're at work. And so Peter wakes up. Cornelius' men show up. He goes to Cornelius' home. He's reacting to the Holy Spirit filling his life. And he sets aside time to share the gospel with Cornelius' family. Right? So that we need to be proactive, right? We need to set aside time just like Jesus did, but we also need to be reactive. The Holy Spirit might be at work in your life in a specific way. So you need to go, okay, I need to go do that. So this morning, right, like if we're to stop to think, we probably fall in that kind of category, one or the other. Some of us are just more proactive people, okay? Like we're just more of I'm going to do this today because I'm going to do it every day. All right, we're proactive. Like, I will spend 30 minutes doing this, right? Some of us in the room, right, we're a little bit different. We're a little more reactive in life, okay? And here's the thing. Neither one of them are bad because my reactive friends in the room that are a little more carefree, following the Holy Spirit, you need to influence our brothers and sisters that are a little bit more proactive. And our proactive brothers and sisters that are a little bit more regimented, right, you need to lean on your brothers and sisters that are a little bit more reactive to what God is working in and through us. All right, let's keep going. If we're supposed to be generous with our time with God, we also need to be generous with our time for others. Generous with our time for others. Let's keep going in Ephesians 5. Right? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now listen to where it shifts here, verse 19. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. We need to be generous with our time for others, and here it says that we need to sing when we gather together. And that's exactly what we just did, right? When we came together, we lifted up God's praise through singing hymns, psalms, and spiritual songs, making melody with your heart to the Lord, right? So there should be time for us to gather together to do what we're doing. So you're here. Good job. Get that. We're doing good. There should be set aside time as well. And look at Ephesians 5:21. That we set aside time generously to submit to one another in love. How many of you think that's really easy? That happens real fast. Yeah, well, you're a lot laughing. Submitting to one another is a journey, right? It's not easy. And what I'm about to read is even more of a time commitment, right? That if we're going to submit to one another in love, that means in our marriage relationship. If we were to read Ephesians 5:22-33, Paul lays out that a husband and wife reflect the gospel. And that if we're going to be generous with our time, this relationship matters. Your marriage relationship. None of us in the room that are married go, man, it's easy. We just need to, yeah, just Wanda's giving me that look like, Marriage takes time for it to be a good marriage, right? There's an investment of time generously with our time. Also, if we keep going in Paul's letter here, children, obey your parents, right? We have fathers, don't provoke your children. We have this relationship that exists within our home. And so first and foremost, we need to be generous with our time in the relationships, the families that God has given us. Okay, so before you're going, I'm going to be generous to everybody and neglect your home, don't do that. You need to serve and show your time and effort, your generosity first in the relationships God has given you. And then also up here, these examples we've seen, to bless others, it's a commitment of time. All right, so here again, we need to be proactive and reactive, right? So in your life, you should be, as a follower of Christ, setting aside time to serve others. Setting aside time to serve others with purpose, okay? Like, if we think of Jesus again, and in John chapter 4, it says that he had to go through Samaria to go meet this woman at the well. He had to go that way. Which, in looking at it, that's not the way he had to go. We see this over and over with Jesus, but another one, right? He's walking into the city, and he looks at Zacchaeus and says, I'm going to your house today. Jesus knew where he was headed when he was coming into that town. He had set aside proactively time to be with somebody else. And for us, if we're going to be generous with our time, we need to be thinking, okay, God, where have you placed me? Who do I need to go and spend time with for the sake of sharing the gospel? We also need to be reactive, right? Jesus is teaching some people in a house, and it's super crowded, and all of a sudden, somebody's coming through the roof. I don't know about you, if somebody's coming through the roof of my home, I'm calling somebody to come fix the roof. But Jesus, in that moment, the guy comes down, and he uses it to teach the gospel, right? Show that Jesus can forgive sins and heal, right? That's what somebody coming through the roof. Later in Matthew chapter 19, children rush him. And instead of pushing them away, he reacts and says, no. Disciples, let the little children come to me. Jesus is proactive in seeking people out. He's reactive with his time and allows people to interrupt his day. So we see examples of Jesus, even in the life of the people that were up on the stage, in your life as well. They're setting aside time to serve you, to serve others in our city, in our community. We're generous with our time that we freely receive, right? We can't add to it, we can't take away from it, but we've been given. How will we redeem the time we've been given? This morning, as you think about your time, right? Here's the thing. None of us are the same in this room, although we are the same if you think about the number of hours we're given each day. And so I thought I'd put a few earworms in your ears and really ask you, how do you see time in your life this morning? All right, how do you see time in your life this morning? Maybe you're like the Rolling Stones and time is on your side. Right? Maybe everything in life, man, you're just capitalizing on it, and you're both proactive, you know, setting aside time for God and for others, and you're reactive, and man, time is on your side. Maybe this morning, you might be like Elvis or Madonna, and time goes by so slowly. Maybe that's you. Maybe this morning, you might feel like Chicago and say, does anybody really know what time it is? Yeah? Maybe, like for me, my childhood, Alabama, maybe you're like one of their songs, I'm in a hurry and don't know why. I'm shaking hands with the clock. Maybe that's you. Maybe this morning you might feel, as we've talked about time this morning, maybe the Holy Spirit's convicting you and you feel more like Cher and you wish you could turn back time. And that's the reality. If we think about this long enough, right? Like if we think about the time that God has given us, there really is a weight because it's like I could have always used my time better in some way. So Cher, although she's got a great hit, right? If I could turn back time, I would. I would use my time differently. I think you would be as well. But the truth remains that in Jesus Christ, he has given us mercy and forgiveness of our sins. That the grace we need, the mercy we need today is enough. That we can use our time to glorify him. And maybe this morning there does need to be some adjustment in the time that you do spend. But I want to give you some blanket things because, like I said, none of us are the same. So this morning I want you to throw out comparisons. All right? I know it exists. You get on Facebook and somebody's living the good life. And you're like, oh, how can they do that with all the, how do they? But the truth is, you are not me. I am not you. You have a different life, a different schedule, different giftings, right? You're different. So throw out comparisons this morning. Also be aware of the season of life that you're in. All right, we have two little kids, right? 2 and 5. And so the 2-year-old, we're still cutting up the food and like everything. I mean, we're changing diapers. And you may not have a 2-year-old in your house. So you're in a different season. Everybody's in a different season. So your season may dictate what you do with your time some. Whatever we do with our time, we need to work urgently. Right? Make the best use of the time because the days are evil. There will be a day when Jesus comes back and we'll spend eternity with him. But let's make right now count. So let's do and work urgently. And let's kill half-heartedness, right? Let's not do things halfway. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. So this morning, wrestling with all of these things about time, being generous to God and with others, I think we need to wrestle with, do I need to be more proactive? Do I need to be setting aside time in my schedule better to bring glory to God, to bless others with my time? Do I need to be more reactive? Maybe that's how you need to be processing this morning. Holy Spirit is working on your life this morning to give more time to God and to others in a reactive way. Whatever your next step is this morning, this next song, this time of invitation is a time to get right with God in your heart. You can do that right in your seat. You can stand up. It's between you and the Holy Spirit at work in your life. So as we sing, process that. Repent, change, right? Be open-handed, not closed-handed. Don't be turned in towards yourself, but be open-handed so that the generosity of God given to you in time may flow to others. Maybe this morning is the first time for you to believe in Jesus and be baptized. I will talk to you. Maybe you want to join our church family, whatever it is. I ask in this song that you make that commitment. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for how you're at work in our lives. We thank you that in this moment, as seconds go by, as minutes turn into hours, I thank you that you've given us this constant reminder of your generosity. And also I thank you for the Holy Spirit that's at work in every single one of those minutes. God, be at work in our heart today. Help us be a church family that is generous with the time that you've given us so that we make today count in eternity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.